Both sides ready? All right. Want to call the case, please?
The court will now call Roy Anthony Francis versus the state of Texas. May it please the court, Ms. Courtney Miller will argue for the appellant. Ms. Tanya Nahoney will argue for the state.
Courtney, you ready?
May it please the court, counsel for the state. My name is Courtney Miller. I represent the appellant in this case. I believe that the state would agree that the facts are uncontested in this case. On June 23rd, 2012, Roy Anthony Francis was driving in his pickup truck. He was driving at a time of night that would require lights to be used, and he was driving with operational fog lamps. His fog lamps were on either side of the truck, and they were working that evening. The officer in this case pulled him over for using the fog lamps. There are no other bad driving facts in this case. There's no allegation of speeding, weaving within the lanes, not using turn signals. The traffic stop occurred solely because of the fog lamps. The officer in the motion to suppress stated that he pulled over appellant based on his understanding of the traffic law. Failure to display headlights when headlights required. There is no such traffic code position. The Transportation Code section is section 547302. It is called duty to display lights. There is no Transportation Code section that says duty to display headlights. And the failure to display the headlights was the sole reason. This court decided in Fowler that an officer's misunderstanding of the Transportation Code could never justify a traffic stop, regardless of the good faith that it was done in. And in this case, the officer did in fact misunderstand the requirements of the Transportation Code. The Transportation Code allows fog lamps to be used. And in the duty to display lights, there are two particular sections that come into play here that we are asking this court to decide the appropriate interpretation of. Subsection C says that lights must be displayed on either side of the vehicle. There is no specification that it be headlamps, fog lamps, stop lamps, what have you. It just says lamps. The title code of the section states that as well. There is just a duty to display lights. So there is no specification in the Transportation Code that at night or when atmosphere conditions are insufficient that headlamps be used. It just says lamps. That's all. The Transportation Code supports the idea that drivers of a vehicle have a choice in what kind of lamps they can use. Specifically, I'm referring to section 547.333, the multiple beam lighting requirement. The very first section, A, 1 and 2, states, unless provided otherwise, those lamps mounted on a motor vehicle, number 1, shall be arranged so that the operator can select at will between distributions of light projected at different elevations, and number 2, may be arranged so that the operator can select the distribution automatically. The Transportation Code allows for operators of cars to choose which lights will be appropriate at any given time.
What about the distances that are contained in
333? The distances that are contained in 333 actually pertain only to headlamps and auxiliary lamps. Auxiliary lamps are actually something different than fog lamps, and I can point that to you specifically. The fog lamp section is something different than auxiliary driving lamps. Auxiliary driving lamps are under Transportation Code section 547.330. So the distances that are stated in the multiple beam Transportation Code section don't actually apply to fog lamps. And there is no Transportation Code section that mandates how far fog lamp beams must shine. It's just not in there.
And there's nothing indicating when it is required to use a fog lamp?
There is nothing. That is correct. There are no restrictions on when fog lamps can be used. and no guidelines for when they should be used. It's just not in the transportation code. The transportation code allows them, but doesn't give any guidance on when, in fact, they should be used.
Can we revert to our common sense?
The common sense reading is that lights must be used, not headlights. The common sense reading would not indicate that it is headlamps and headlamps only.
I guess I was thinking their common sense reasoning of when we would use fog lamps.
If there's no code provision in the transportation code detailing when they can't be used, it would be going above and beyond the powers of this court. That would be legislating from the bench instead of interpreting what the transportation code is, and that's beyond the purview of this court.
So your basic position is it's okay if everybody drives down the freeway and out in the country and wherever they want to with just their fog lamps on?
Yes.
My recollection of driving my Jeep Wrangler is when the fog lamps come on, the headlights go off. So you're not driving with both of them.
That's actually incorrect. Different manufacturers might have different code specifications. I'm not sure about that. But there is a separate transportation code that allows for fog lamps to be used with lower headlamps. So you can use up to four. But it doesn't say that fog lamps have to be used with headlamps, as the state puts forward in their brief. In fact, the code section that they're referring to says may. It's a factually incorrect statement of the law to say that the appropriate usage of fog lamps is in addition to other fog lamps. It's just a false statement of the law. Furthermore, the multiple beam lighting requirement statute actually goes a little farther. Further on down, it says that it mandates that lower beams should be used when a car is within 500 feet of an oncoming vehicle and 300 feet of a vehicle driving ahead. It mandates that you should use the lower beams. Fog lamps are lower than headlamps. Headlamps are going to be mounted at 24 to 54 inches. Fog lamps are mounted at 12 to 30 inches. That code provision could be read to specifically allow for fog lamps to be used when quickly approaching a car, either in the same direction or in an oncoming direction. So, as mentioned, that code section does have beam distance requirements for the headlamps and auxiliary driving lamps, but auxiliary driving lamps are something that is specifically stated to be different than fog lamps. They don't have the same mounting requirements, and there are no beam-specific requirements for fog lamps.
What is an auxiliary driving lamp as a practical matter?
To be honest, I'm not completely sure. I'm not a car expert, but it does state in the transportation code that they are different. They are under two separate code provisions, and the mounting requirements are different. And the multiple beam lighting requirement does not mention fog lamps specifically at all, while it does mention the auxiliary lamps. So the code is clear and unambiguous here. Headlamps are not specifically required to be used when driven at night, just lights. And having a lamp shining on both sides of the vehicle at night fulfills that duty to display lights, regardless of whether or not what they are. Since the code is clear and unambiguous, it's improper for this court to go into the rules of statutory construction. However, if the court does rule that the code provision is ambiguous, dealing specifically with subsection A, then the rule of lenity should apply before the rules of construction are given. The rule of lenity in a Supreme Court case, very recent, 2008, states that ambiguous code terms should be resolved in favor of the defendant subjected to them. So if it is ambiguous, the appellant still wins because he's using fog lamps that meet the requirement of the duty to display lamps. Going further, after the tie goes to the fog lamps, should the court feel the need to go into the rules of statutory construction, there are specific ways to do that. The statute should be construed in order to give meaning to all the provisions and to avoid an absurd construction. And there are two specific things that I'd like to draw your attention to. Government Code Section 311.0212 and a case that the state relies upon, Boykin v. State. It's out of the Court of Criminal Appeals. The government code says that the entire statute is intended to be effective. And Boykin v. State specifically says it would be illogical to presume that the legislature intended part of the statute to be superfluous. If fog lamps are never going to be effective, efficient, safe lighting, then it would render the fog lamp permitted section to be superfluous. There would be no need to permit them if the light was never going to be efficient for use. It just wouldn't make sense.
Certainly going to be efficient when there's fog. That's their purpose, as we know, whether it's articulated in the statute or not.
I would respectfully disagree. The fog lamps does not give a stated purpose. There is not a legislative intent listed in the fog lamps permitted transportation code section. The transportation code adheres to the federal government's legislative intent, and I've detailed that in my brief. The federal government's legislative intent is to provide safe lighting. There's no indication that Mr. Francis was driving in an unsafe manner. Cars could see him. The officer could see him. And in fact, that's what drew his attention to the car. He saw the fog lamps on. There's no allegation that there were no lights at all being used. He saw the fog lamps. He pulled over the car based on his mistaken interpretation of what the requirements were. But the federal regulation legislative intent is met by having lamps on either side. Mr. Francis adhered to that.
Well, I think there's a dual purpose for fog lamps or headlights. That is, so that people can see you, as you just articulated, and the more obvious reason, so that you can see what's ahead, so that you don't hit a dog, you don't hit a person, you don't run over something.
Practically
speaking, fog lights in the fog allow you to see better than if you shine your brights or your low beams directly into a fog bank.
Practically speaking, there might be different purposes, and it's not our argument that the two are fungible, that they are designed to do the same thing. They're designed to light up, and that's what both fog lamps and headlamps do. But since the transportation code does not prohibit the use of fog lamps in any one particular situation, merely allows for them, then their use is going to be acceptable at night. So, since we know that we need to construe the statute to give meaning to each particular section, to say that fog lamps aren't going to be permitted is to ignore and nullify a code section, and that's contrary to what the rules of statutory construction are supposed to do. Furthermore, the statute should be interpreted according to its plain and common meaning. Lamps are lamps. You can't assume that lamps are supposed to mean headlamps. It's not in there. It could easily say that if it needed to. If we don't interpret it according to its plain and common meaning, you use the rules of statutory construction unless a contrary intention is apparent from the context or such a construction leads to absurd results. We have both of those present in the duty to display lights code. Subsection A is the one that the state will rely upon to state that headlamps are what is required. It says that all required lamps are required to be displayed at night. However, the phrase all would indicate, in fact, all that is listed on there. All the lights that are listed on there are headlamps, tail lamps, signal lamps, multiple beam lamps. If you were to interpret that using the all and only look at subsection A, then the car would have to be lit up completely driving at night. Everything would have to be flashing all at once in order to go along and give that its full meaning. That's an absurd result. We know it's an absurd result because the transportation code specifies when tail lamps and signal lamps are supposed to be used. They're not supposed to be used at all times, just when stopping or turning. So that can't be what the legislature intended. There is a contrary result apparent in that subsection. You don't have to go far to find it. And that contrary intention is subsection C that says a lamp on either side must be illuminated, and that's going to be sufficient to meet the requirement of that.
Let me ask this, and I don't really expect you to have thought of this. It's math. If I read 547.328b2 correctly, it says that at 25 feet, the fog lamp beam will have dropped 4 inches.
Could you restate which code section you're looking at?
I'm looking at 547.328.
Fog lamps permitted, that
right.
Section?
Yes. B2. Okay.
Yes.
If I read it correctly, it says that at 25 feet, the beam will have dropped 4 inches. Now, if we notice above that the beam, the lamp is 12 to 30 inches high, that would mean that it's 75 feet per foot. So 2.5 feet would be 150 plus a half, which would be something like 187.5 feet. In other words, if it's at the highest point, 30 inches, it's got to shoot down at a certain angle, 4 inches every foot, ever 25 feet. And so at 187 feet, it's going to be on the ground. But if we go over here and look at 333, it looks like to me that a lamp is identified, blah, 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 shall produce an uppermost distribution of light or composite beam and emits light sufficient to reveal a person or vehicle at a distance of 450 feet. So what I'm trying to say is it looks like to me, and I don't expect you to have done this.
You're right, I'm unprepared for a math question.
It looks like to me that what it's saying is the fog lamp is aiming down, it goes down 4 inches every 25 feet, and it's going to hit the ground before being able to go out 450 feet to illuminate a person or vehicle, which means it isn't a lamp, because this tells you a lamp is identified in subsection A, shall produce, and a fog lamp can't do that because it hits the ground too quickly to go out 450 feet.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Subsection A says, unless provided otherwise, a headlamp, auxiliary driving lamp, auxiliary passing lamp, or combination of those lamps. Fog lamps aren't included in what this transportation code section has to meet. Fog lamps don't have to meet those requirements because it's not listed in subsection A.
Okay. Okay.
The state argues in their brief. I apologize.
Time's up.
Apologize.
Does anybody have any other questions?
We ask that you reverse and remand. Thank you.
Thank you. Tanya? You done your math?
May it please the court, counsel. Unless we absolutely change the rules of appellate construction and standards of review, this court is required to uphold the trial court's ruling rejecting the motion to suppress here. This case did not involve a request by counsel for specific findings of fact and conclusions of law, so all of the appellate equities fall toward the trial court's ruling, and this court is bound to infer the record and read the record in the light most favorable to the trial court's ruling.
Well, and isn't this a case of statutory interpretation, so it's de novo?
That would be de novo, but I believe that because of the police officer's testimony that applies to sub C, 0.333 of, I'm just going to refer to the suffix, not the prefix of the statute, but 0.333 sub C, and because the officer said that the lighting in this situation was insufficient and dangerous, basically, I quoted the entire testimony in my brief. But because he said that, I think under no construction of the statute can this court reverse.
You lost me. You're referring to 333C.
It's
somehow that gives justification because he thought that basically the lights being provided by the fog lamps were insufficient under the circumstances.
Correct. I call that the catch-all provision.
Where in here do we see that?
Where in the statute?
Well, where in 330? Did you?
Sub C. It's 547.33, subsection C.
Right. I'm looking at it.
And a person who operates a vehicle shall select a light distribution that emits light sufficient to reveal a person or vehicle at a safe distance ahead of the vehicle. And then there's exceptions that go to basically dimming your lights when you have an approaching vehicle. That's the catch-all in the statute that shows you have to use proper lights for proper circumstances. That's the logic, Justice McCoy, that you're referring to in the statute. It's the glue here. We actually have, while not the best worded statute, someday I'll get to come to this court with a statute I think is perfectly worded, I hope. But the glue, the logical glue for the statute there. In my brief, I argued that it was a violation of 302.302. I'm ignoring the 547 and 0.333C. But I really think, and after hearing opposing counsel's argument, that that's just the glue. There has to be some logic to this. You're correct. Lights, your Jeep Wrangler's fog lights would not be logically applicable to the super speed, whatever it is, tollway around Austin. It's unsafe and dangerous. And our officer here said several times, and I referred to them in my brief, in the substance, and in the findings, in the statement of facts, that this was not a safe situation coming onto East Northwest Highway from Highway 26. This is someone traveling at highway speeds. So that, in and of itself, using the appropriate standard of review, means that this court needs to find that the trial court's ruling was correct. Now, again, I know this court has grappled with many, many statutes that are less than perfect. We do that pretty much. I guess that provides us job security in some way. But in this situation, there is a clear-cut difference, according to appellant's argument, about fog lights and headlamps. I believe it was your question, Justice McCoy, about the difference between auxiliary lamps and fog lights, but I could be wrong. But she pointed out that those are in different sections as part of the difference. Does that same logic not apply to the different sections that apply to headlamps versus fog lamps? And counsel seems to suggest that I've misstated the law with respect to 547.328C, and that's the fog lamp provision, and that provision is the one that says when fog lights are required, they may be used, and there's that permissive language in there. Well, I spelled it out in my brief, and I really think that the whole point of that provision and why it's not shall be used is because if it's foggy, a police officer is not going to be able to ticket somebody for not using their fog lamps. It's not required. That's why they use the permissive language there. But you may choose, if it's foggy and applying your common sense, to use your fog lamps. That's why there is permissive language in that provision. It's not required. There's not going to be a proper traffic stop. It would be a mistaken consideration if an officer pulled over someone in a foggy situation and they did not have their fog lights on. That's not a traffic code violation. Unless there was additional testimony that said the lighting wasn't appropriate under the sub C that I'm talking about, the logical glue.
Okay, I'm following your argument as far as 333C is concerned, that basically in the officer's judgment, the light was insufficient to reveal a person or vehicle at a safe distance ahead of the vehicle, and that's supported by, I guess, the findings of fact to which we have to give deference to. Now, let's set that argument aside. Are you still arguing, and this is what I gathered your other argument was, that you can look at 302, 321, or 328 and determine that it is required that you use headlamps?
Yes, and I believe that that's
not following that argument.
Well, and that's why I'm saying this is not a perfect statute. I think that's why you have to read 321 through 335, I think is the last provision. You have to read them all together. And I'll be the first person to say, I know that we're not allowed to follow captions. That was a case, seems like it was a wildlife statute years ago in the 80s, maybe Bagot. I haven't cited that. I can't completely remember the name. But the captions don't control. But but we know headlights are required, and we know that based on the reading of the statute in other places besides the caption. And I pointed out that 547.302.
Yes, basically says that at nighttime you're going to display a lighted lamp.
If you'll go down the statute a little, Judge, to D1, and a headlamp required by this chapter. Now, that's not the strongest argument, I will be the first to tell you. But it's talking about a headlamp, not a fog lamp, which we know those are different since they have different mounting, different lighting, oh, and different sections, as appellant argued.
I think we could say safely that it requiring that a headlamp be on a vehicle even tells you where it's got to be. But being and using may be two different things.
Well, and again, I'm not going to argue, contrary to that Fishing and Wildlife Code provision that I can't remember the exact name of from the 80s, I think, but the duty to display lights that's at the beginning of 302, I'm not going to argue that that is definitive, but I think that goes to the statutory intent when you're reading what is not a perfect statute. And so we have that. Then you also read those turning to 547.333C, and every driver is mandated to use what is safe. So when you're traveling on a highway, what is safe and what this officer testified was safe was that headlights, which illumine, and he said, up to 1,000 feet, those are what is safe. Something that, thank you, Justice McCoy, for doing the math. I actually called my little brother to have help with that. And you should see my scratchings on it. I didn't do it as quickly as you did. But there's no way that a fog lamp is safe. It's just illogical, absurd, calling in Boykin, to have a fog light be the proper light on most roadways.
Does the record reflect at all the amount of traffic on this highway at this intersection? How far away the nearest car in front was, if there was oncoming traffic, because I'm imagining oncoming traffic, and every time the car gets within 500 feet, you switch to this light, then 300 feet, you switch to this light, and I don't think that's what the statute contemplates. So what does the record reflect about the amount of traffic on this highway at this intersection?
What the record reflects, what the officer testified to, is that this is a well-traveled highway, and so it was yet a second reason, not just the paucity of light given by fog lights, but the fact that this was a well-traveled highway, he felt it was a dangerous scenario to just use fog lamps.
So, well, I'm looking at 547.333C, an operator approaching an oncoming vehicle within 500 feet shall select the lowermost distribution of light. It doesn't say headlight, fog light, parking light, brake light. It just says lowermost. And then in two, an operator approaching a vehicle from the rear within 300 feet may not select the uppermost distribution of light. So if it's as heavily traveled as this police officer says, then what's the problem with fog lights? It seems really to be more in keeping with the intent of the statute, which is don't blind the guy that's approaching you and don't blind the guy that's in front of you.
As I read the it's subsection 1 and 2 under C of 547.333, To me, that is the dimming lights provision. When you approach vehicles, when you're in a situation that involves cars meeting each other nearby, and probably not, I mean, applying in some highway situations, that's where I read that. And I think that using fog lamps as the, I'm assuming that you're going to using fog lamps as the lowermost distribution of light, I just don't think that's a correct reading of the statute, Your Honor. To have a driver go from maybe their high beams to their fog lights and then back to whichever
or
beams they find
heavily
necessary.
Heavily traveled road.
I think because when you get to the fog lamp lighting, it's not sufficient for the entire roadway, not for the passage of other vehicles, but for the entire roadway. And so when you look at the, I mean, 333 is the multiple beam statute and how you're supposed to go through them. I think that the logical reading of that is that's talking about high and low, and those are the two that in a general sense, based on their placement, based on the lighting requirements, those are the two that go through.
But it seems like under 547.333C1A, the lowermost distribution of light would be the fog lights. I mean, the lowermost distribution of lights based on the other portions of the statute that we've reviewed as to where the fog lights have to be mounted and where the fog lights have to be aimed. I mean, that section looks like it's requiring you to activate your fog lights.
Again, I'm not suggesting this is a perfect statute, but then if you're going to read the statute that way, and spotlights are one of the auxiliary type lights, a different type, that would mean that if you were driving in a very dark situation, you would shift off your regular lights and put on your spotlights because those are typically higher. And I think that those are taking this statute to an incorrect, possibly absurd conclusion.
Let me help you out and then maybe not help you out. I think what you're saying is if the officer had stopped this person because they didn't have the low beam or high beam working properly when they approached an oncoming vehicle, mm-hmm. one and two, then we would worry about that. That's not why the officer stopped it. It didn't have anything with approaching a vehicle, so this doesn't make any difference. So I think that's your explanation for that. But the title of this whole section is multiple beam lighting equipment required, which is, I believe, your high beam or low beam headlamp. And so one could ask, does this section, C, have anything to do with fog lamps whatsoever? Because it's talking about use of your high beams or low beams.
I like that construction. I wish the wording was stating that perfectly. I think that's a good construction too. I think that's a construction that allows application of each word of the statute without rendering fog lamps obscure or unusable.
So. But, well, I guess what I'm saying is if I was opposing counsel, I would say that this section about lights, reasonable lighting to see what's going on is what it says, and the officer said that wasn't there, that's only talking about if you're using high beam and low beam headlights and isn't talking about use of fog lights. That's what I'd say if I was opposing counsel.
Well, in this situation, opposing counsel is correct. There's no debate. May I continue?
Sure, go ahead.
No debate over the fact that the headlights themselves were not illumined. In fact, the officer pulled up next to the vehicle to double check that the headlights were not illumined. And again, based on the appropriate standard of review, and even with that interpretation of .333, then we still have an offense under sub C.
But again, maybe I'm not hearing. C seems to only talk about the multiple beam lighting equipment. So if he was using the wrong beam or there was something the matter with his headlight so that it wasn't reasonably light sufficient to reveal a person or vehicle to safe distance ahead, then this would come into play. But because the headlamps weren't being used, does this also apply to the use of fog lamps? That's what I'm getting at when it's under the section about headlamps. Doesn't say anything about fog lamps. Or if it was in a completely different section about safe operation of the vehicle, that you've got to use your lights sufficient to illuminate things a reasonable portion ahead. But it's under this specific section.
If you read this in conjunction with 0.328, where it's a permissible use of fog lamps,
yeah.
I think it shows 333 requires something other than fog lamps.
Okay.
And they were not being used in this scenario. And also, there was insufficient lighting under the conditions.
Okay, I have a question. Because you're relying on 547.333C as providing a reasonable basis for the stop.
Well, and also
right, you
302.
Have the two grounds.
Also
right.
302.
Right, so you're relying on 547.333C. The end of that section C says at a safe distance ahead of the vehicle, except that, and then we have sections 1 and 2 that I mentioned before. So whose burden is it to show that those 1 and 2 factors were not occurring? Because if those 1 and 2 factors were occurring, then that section doesn't apply, even if it does apply to fog lamps.
I think that the officer's testimony covered those sections. I never know how to say that, Lothrop case.
Right, the possibly. Shoulder, when you can
correct.
Turn on the shoulder.
And the statute in that, am I correct, and that's where you're going?
Well, I'm just curious. This statute's worded differently because that statute specifically says when you can.
Correct.
So
I think they're opposite.
This is different. I'm just wondering how you perceive. I mean, clearly there's two specific exceptions to the application of C. So I'm wondering, I mean, I'm asking you, how do you construe, whose burden is it to prove that 1 and 2 were not happening, your burden or the defendant's burden?
In this situation, because there were no headlamps illumined, I think that's all we needed to prove that there was a violation under 333 completely. Then I think it would have been their burden to suggest that there was some additional requirement here. And these facts and this statute specifically are worded, I think, kind of the opposite of the statute.
I would agree.
So I wouldn't apply that logic in that case. So with all of that in mind, the state respectfully requests the court to uphold the trial court's ruling in this instance, so that we have safe traveling on our roadways and not fog lamps in places where they would not illumine anything. Thank you.
Courtney?
I would like to address the just a few things. There is no specific separate document in the record stating findings of fact, conclusions of law. We did not ask for that because, in our opinion, the judge stated the findings of fact and conclusions of law at the hearing. She relied upon a transportation code that neither one of us has discussed. I address it in a footnote in the brief because it deals with horse and buggies and farm implements. She relied specifically on a code section that did require farm implements and horse and buggies and bikes to have lighting up to 1,000 feet. That code section doesn't deal with motor vehicles, so neither side has addressed that. But she relied specifically on that and on, she stated, the other transportation codes. So the facts aren't really in question here. It is a de novo review because we're looking at the appropriate way to interpret the transportation code sections. So not a specific document, but I do believe the judge made clear what she was basing her ruling upon. I would also disagree with the state's argument that the officer stated that the use of the fog lamps was dangerous. I did a word search. Safely, the word safe, safety, or safely came up once in that transcript, and it was when the officer waited to safely do a U-turn to verify that he was looking at fog lamps instead of headlamps. He did not classify this as unsafe driving. He didn't connect it with the idea of intoxicated driving. The only thing he could connect it to is driver inattention. So I would disagree that the officer stated that this was unsafe driving. States Exhibit 1, the tape, does show that there were other cars, and I've addressed that in the brief, present on the roadway. And it stated in the transcript that no cars had to take evasive action. He was present. He was visible to other cars. He was providing adequate illumination for that. And there's no other argument to show that in reality he wasn't. In regards to your question about, I'll do what the state did, 333, dealing with subsection C and A. A, of course, we've gone over, doesn't apply to fog lamps. It applies to headlamps and to auxiliary lamps. But the presence of C and dealing with the lowermost beam would indicate that fog lamps are acceptable. So the beam distance requirements further up in Code Section 333 deal only specifically with headlamps and auxiliary lamps. If fog lamps don't meet those minimums, fog lamp isn't listed in there specifically. But it does say on C, lowermost beam. That would appear to include fog lamps, since fog lamps are permitted by the Transportation Code. So this goes along with the idea that fog lamps are allowed, they can be used, and while the Transportation Code doesn't specifically dictate when they might be used, there are code provisions that could apply to them. And finally, the rule of lenity, I think all of the debate would indicate that perhaps the Transportation Code is a bit ambiguous. If it is, then the rule of lenity applies, and the tie goes to the fog lamps.
All right, so let's suppose that the state's lead dog argument is that the officer made the stop because he did not feel that there was sufficient light to reveal a person or vehicle at a safe distance ahead of the vehicle. Is your response to that argument, the record does not reveal that he said that? Is that your response to that?
The record reveals that he pulled the car over because he thought there is a duty to display headlamps and that fog lamps didn't meet that requirement. He also went on to say that he thought the Transportation Code required 1,000 feet of light. That's not true. All of 333 deals with lower levels of light that are not only permissible but mandated. He got the minimum lighting requirements confused as well. Are there any other questions?
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate your argument. Very interesting, as you could tell from all the questions. Your case is submitted. You are free to go about your business, and this court will be adjourned.